Armand Katayan has joined us on Sports Byline. He has co-authored, along with Jeff Benedict, the book The System, The Glory and Scandal of Big-Time College Football, and this is a book you must read. Armand, of course, is the lead correspondent for 60 Minute Sports. He also was a correspondent for HBO's Real Sports, an 11-time Emmy Award winner who is considered one of the outstanding investigative journalists in the country. And The System is the definitive book on college football. 416 pages, Armand, and I'm trying to picture how when you sat down with Jeff and said, let's write a book about college football, what were you guys thinking?
Well, that's a good question. We were thinking that in 2010 and 11 that college football was going through the most convulsive period of change in its, arguably in its history, and we were sort of in the middle of it because we were working on a couple of major pieces for Sports Illustrated and CBS News, one of them which was on crime in college football, the other on gangs and sports, and we just kept hearing the word, you know, well, the system is this and the system is that, and when you saw all the conference realignment and the abandoning of the rivalries and the money that was pouring into the conference television deals, we were like, this is a really good time to do a big picture look at what's happening in one of the most popular sports in the country. And fortunately, Ron, we were able to kind of bank on the credibility that we had built up over 20 years in the business. And so when we went to people like Nick Saban and Alabama and Mike Leach out at Washington State and Dave Brandon, at the athletic director at the University of Michigan, and said, look, we're working on this book. We want to do sort of the definitive, as you said, look at big-time college football. They trusted us enough to allow us into their programs to give this kind of unprecedented inside view of what's happening now in college football.
How hard was it for the both of you to kind of boil this down into something that people could understand and it wouldn't be too technically oriented?
Well, it was difficult because, you know, we did not want to write an expose. We had both written so-called, you know, exposés of programs, and or, you know, Jeff had done books about, you know, the pros and cons and, you know, the criminals that are part of the NFL. And I didn't want to write one of those as well. For me, the shelf that I wanted to reach was the ones that David Halberstam, who was a tremendous influence on my journalistic career. I kept thinking about Best and the Brightest and The Amateurs and the number of other books that David had written, and which were never really scandalous, but they were so deeply reported from the inside that you felt like you were in the world in which David had immersed himself in. And it was interesting because Jeff and I, you know, we kind of divided up the responsibilities. He had very good access at Washington State with Mike Leach, and so he was able to really chronicle, as few have, Mike's journey from BYU as a young student there through the tremendous success he had at Texas Tech, the first time the story's been told about what really happened at Texas Tech and his firing over Adam James and Craig James, and then this amazing behind-the-scenes account of his hiring at Washington State, and then, you know, I went off and looked into the Alabama program and the Michigan program and focused on what happened at Ohio State, and which proved to be kind of a textbook example of the system and the machine at work. So it was funny. You know, he would go one way, I would go another. We talked on the phone all the time. We saw each other, you know, several times. But we had, really, this book is 400-plus pages. We had several other chapters that we actually took out of the book because we just felt like, you know, for the narrative and to move it along the way that we wanted to, that we would drop a couple. And, you know, it was like losing a baby there in the end. But I think in the end it worked out really well for us.
39 universities are featured in the book, from the University of Alabama to USC, Stanford, Ohio State, BYU, and Towson University. What did you find when you think back on it is the commonality among all the schools, whether they big or small?
Well, the commonality is money, and it's pouring into the sport like it never has before. And, you know, I could do chapter and verse on it, but you start with the coaching salaries, which are You know, Nick Saban and Mac Brown are $5.5+ million a year. You now have 79 basically Division I BCS coaches making more than $1 million. You have 16 making more than $3 million. You have programs now at Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, Auburn, generating north of $80 to $90 million. So they're no longer football programs. They're $100 million businesses, and the coaches are no longer head coaches of a football program. They're CEOs of multi-million-dollar businesses. So all of that was eye-opening in a way, but it's also where college football is at the moment. And when you look at the game, you no longer see it just as a football game. It has become an extension of the brand, and probably the single most important aspect of any university is the success of its football team. And when you look at schools like Towson, very successful in the lower division, what is it called now? The Football Championship Series, the FCS. You know, they're trying to build Towson University's brand through their football program. And so we learn so much that way, that football is no longer just about what happens on the field. It's really become a tremendous marketing vehicle for these universities.
Is there anything different between the NFL and college football? Aren't they basically both the same today, Armin?
Well, I think, you know, Ron, in the mega programs, and you can probably take the top 20 in the country that are now on whatever USA Today poll or the AP poll, they are run like NFL teams. I mean, for example, Nick Saban, he doesn't call it the football program. He calls it the organization. He has, I think if I'm remembering this correctly, 38 people listed in his media guide that are part and parcel, important parts. They have titles and designations within Alabama's organization. And when you talk about the money that's pouring into these programs and the fact that you have several of them which have 100,000 or 90,000 plus seat stadiums and generating between $80 and $100 million plus a year, they're very much like NFL teams. They're run like these programs. They are full-time jobs, and we can dispense with the word student-athlete because in the mega programs, they're now athlete students. They actually, by study, spend more time in football-related activities, 41-plus hours a week, as compared to being 38 hours a week in a classroom activity. So I think it's high time that the powers that be, and I'm still not sure who those are in the NCAA and college football, recognize the fact that this is probably the third most popular sport in America right now, and it should be treated as such.
You know, one of the things that bothers me is the hypocrisy of college football, and I'll tell you what I mean by that, and I've said this on the air before, Armin, is they've got universities, presidents, chancellors who are saying, you know, students come first, and really we are interested only in the academic, but we want the balance of having college sports. Those are the same presidents and chancellors that hop on a donor's airplane to fly off to watch their football team play someplace. I mean, there seems to be a conflict of interest. Did you find that to be the case?
That's absolutely a very astute statement about where the game is right now. And, you know, the college presidents are caught in a quandary here. Number one, they can mouth the parables and the proper things to say is, which, you know, we want this to be about academics and, you know, the good and the graces of the university. But the fact of the matter is that college football teams have become an extension of the brand of the university. They have become the single most important marketing vehicle for a university, by meaning donations and applications can skyrocket given the fact that you have a good football team. And what happens is, in order to have that team, in order to get a seat at the table, you have to put tens of millions of dollars. That's the ante to get a seat at the big boy table, with facilities, with coaching salaries, with academic centers to recruit the kind of athletes you need to play in the big leagues. But at the same time, the universities are saying, as you said, well, this is really about, you know, providing an opportunity to get an education. That, to me, has become the biggest myth that is being perpetuated right now in college football. I can't name one college president in the last month. When you think what's happened in college football, you've had the Oklahoma State investigation by Sports Illustrated. Right, wrong, or indifferent, it was a huge story. The system comes out, causes shockwaves through that world.
Armin, hold on just a second. Armin Katayan is with us. We're talking about his book, The System. We continue with more of you and Sports Byline.